On October 23rd, 1983, a terrorist attack was carried out on U.S. Marine barracks in the country of Lebanon, and that attack claimed 241 lives of the servicemen who were serving at that station. Afterwards, the Marine Commandant, Paul Kelly, visited with some of the wounded servicemen who survived that horrific blast. One of those men that was visited was Corporal Jeffrey Nashton. Corporal Nashton had so many tubes running in and out of his body that a witness said he looked more like a machine than he did a man. Yet he survived. When the commandant approached, Corporal Nashton, in great pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. And on that piece of paper, he simply wrote the words, Semper Fi. Semper Fi is the Marines' motto, which simply means forever faithful. Tonight, I want to look at a passage of Scripture in our Bible that speaks about that truth of forever faithful. I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Lamentations in the third chapter. Lamentations chapter 3 tonight. I want you to follow along as I begin reading tonight in verse 19. We're going to read down through verse 41. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth into the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of the man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, it is come to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we're going to consider a few things tonight from this passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask and pray tonight that as we come and as we consider this passage of Scripture found for us in the book of Lamentations, that Lord, you would help us to see and be reminded that you are a God who is forever faithful. And Father, that our heart will rejoice, that we would truly be able to say, as we have sung, as we have read, "Great is thy faithfulness." Father, may then we in turn be faithful unto you. So Father, we ask and pray your blessing now upon our time and our meeting, our study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A study of the person of God is always going to lead us to marvel at the truth that the God of heaven, the creator of all things, stoops so low that he would reveal himself to sinful man. How blessed it is that our God would give us His written word and ensure that that word would be preserved to every generation that we might know Him. I wonder how often you think about that when you walk into a service such as this, as we open our Bibles, as we wake up in the morning and there it sits on the bedstand or it sits by your favorite chair as you grab it in the morning to get up and take your time for your daily devotions. I wonder how many times we truly stop and ponder to think that the very God of heaven, the creator of all the earth, took time to reveal Himself to you through the pages of His Word. What a blessing that our God would care so much to meet the need of sinful men. Yet it's not simply the words of God that ought to be a marvel to us, but we also find when we study His person that His works are marvelous as well. The Word of God declares that the Father sent His Son into the world out of love, that the Son willingly laid down His life for sinful man, that we might be redeemed from sin. Salvation has been freely given to all who come to Christ. He provided the way of salvation for all mankind. As marvelous as that truth is, it doesn't end there, does it? God not only saved, but the Bible tells us that He also now desires to sanctify, to continue to do a work in your life, continue to do a work in my life, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And as we live and as we go through every day, no matter what we face, no matter what comes about, no matter how hard it might be, no matter how good it might be, no matter what we go through, this truth ought to permeate our minds. God is forever faithful to you. I hope you believe that. And we ought to live each day under the knowledge and the understanding that our God has been faithful. As I began to study out this passage of Scripture, I really thought we'd be able to get through the thoughts that I had for tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to take me about 4 weeks to go through this passage. And as we go through this passage tonight, what I want you to see with me is the context of Jeremiah's statement. We can often come to Jeremiah Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. We know them so well. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing it in a song and we recognize those things. But you understand what's taking place as Jeremiah writes these lamentations. It's as you understand that it begins to give light to the very words that he would speak. As we come to Lamentations chapter 3, we find the prophet Jeremiah is lamenting the condition of his own life. He is lamenting the condition of the life of the nation of Israel. Because God, by means of divine judgment, has brought the people of Judah into captivity. Because of their sin and because of their rejection of Him as their God. Judah is the last of God's people to now be brought low. They now too have gone into captivity. You remember that the nation of Israel was unified under David. It grew immensely under Solomon, and it was divided under Rehoboam. The 10 northern tribes went with Jeroboam. The 2 southern tribes stayed with Rehoboam, the house of Judah. About a century before, Isaiah would write his prophecy to the people of Israel. And he would declare to them that there was a coming judgment. And that judgment came and they were carried away captive. Now Jeremiah is given the same call, the same responsibility to share that truth with those people of Judah. And they now succumb to the very same fate. They have been carried away captive. But in the midst of those lamentations, Jeremiah is both reminded and humbled of this glorious truth. God has always been and continues to be faithful to his people. And that's why he would say, "Great is thy faithfulness." As we consider this context, I want you to see the conflict that Jeremiah has. The conflict of Jeremiah. Look at verse 19 and following. Jeremiah says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Jeremiah mentions that he is in a conflict. There is a conflict of soul in his own life. God had called Jeremiah even before he was born. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in thy belly, thy mother's womb, I knew thee." He was known before and called of God, ordained to be a prophet, given the message that the people of Judah will now face God's judgment. That was what he was called to do. He was called to proclaim God's displeasure and pending judgment. It's not just that he had to proclaim it. Folks, he had to live it. Jeremiah not only proclaimed it, but he himself had to suffer through the very judgment of God. He had to suffer through persecution at the hands of the people of Judah, the very people that he loved, because they refused to hear the message of God. In verse 19, he says that he had his afflictions. The word afflictions there speaks of our outward struggles that we face due to our circumstances. Jeremiah says, "I am suffering through afflictions." There are outward difficulties that I have to bear, that I have to go through and deal with. But he also reminds himself of the misery. And the term misery there really speaks of an inward struggle. It speaks of the turmoil of soul as he endured, as he watched the people of God and the people that he loved suffer because of their sin. Folks, Jeremiah cared for the people of Judah, the people of God. He preached to them, he proclaimed to them the judgment of God, but they refused to listen. That's a hard thing for a man to bear. It's hard to preach and teach and counsel and folks just to say, "Who cares?" and go live their own life when you care for them. And Jeremiah cared. He said, "I have these afflictions and I'm going through this misery." And folks, I'm reminded that we have the same. We have days of affliction. We have outward struggles and trials. We have days of misery. Now, the reality is the outward trials, the afflictions sometimes are more readily seen by others. And many times people have no idea of our miseries. We can hide the miseries because those are inwardly. We can put on a good show and we can put on a good face and we can kind of go through life. But the reality is we have afflictions and we have miseries. And sometimes we face those because of our choices. Sometimes we face them because of the consequence that others have reaped upon the whole. You realize that there were times that the people of Israel suffered for the sin of one? Remember Achan? 300 souls died because of Achan's sin. There are times that we suffer and we go through things not because of what we ourselves have done, but because of sin that's around us and the problems that come. And the reality is, Jeremiah said, "I have my afflictions, I have our miseries." The question is this: when we find ourselves in this conflict, how do we respond to the afflictions and the misery? What's going to be our focus in those days? Will we run or will we remain faithful? When afflictions and miseries come, what will you do? Jeremiah, in the midst of the conflict, chose to consider the compassion of Jehovah. And I want to focus on that tonight. There was a conflict for Jeremiah. There were afflictions. There were miseries. But Jeremiah said, that which helped me through was a focus on the compassion of Jehovah. Look again at verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. What's he speaking of? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What Jeremiah decided to focus on were not the conflicts, but on the compassion of Jehovah. Folks, we're all going to face afflictions and miseries. There are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. There are going to be mountaintop experiences and there will be valleys. There are days of sunshine and there are days of darkness. You cannot escape them. There are days when the sun shines and there are the days that you are fogged in all around you in life and you just can't see clearly. In those times, what will be the focus of your life? Jeremiah said, it's the compassion of Jehovah. I want you to see that with me. He was able to endure through it all, because what permeated his mind was the loving loyalty of God. And verse 20 said that thought humbled him. By the way, as we look at these verses tonight, I think it ought to humble us that the very God of heaven would lovingly be loyal to his people, that you and me. I want you to think about that. That the very God of the universe, the creator of your own life, has chosen to set his affections upon you. And whom he sets his affections on, he will be faithful to. Loving loyalty. And Jeremiah said, that was the focus in the midst of the afflictions. In verse 22, we find that it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah said, this was the focus. This is what I recalled to my mind, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah understood that the people of Judah were receiving their just reward. And folks, they were. We're going to explain that more in detail to come. But understand, as Judah was going through this time in which they were being taken captive and being driven from their land, and much suffering was happening, they were receiving their just reward. It was because of their sin that judgment fell. They were warned and they refused to heed the warning, and God's judgment came. By the way, you're going to see with me in just a minute that that was part of the faithfulness of God. We're going to explain why in a moment. But Jeremiah knew that the people of God were receiving their reward, their just reward. Yet it was still done at the hands of a loving God. It was because of his mercies they were not consumed. I want you to think about that word mercies for a moment. The word mercies here in verse 22 is the Hebrew word hesed. That word hesed is a term that speaks of a loving loyalty. It speaks of that compassion and love for someone else. And it carries that idea of a loyalty. It is used in Genesis 24 to speak of the loyalty that Abraham's servant had for his master as he was bid to go out and find a bride for his son Isaac. And you'll remember that story. And he was to go into Abraham's own kindred and find a wife, and he was to promise not to take a wife from the heathen. And he promised his loyalty and his love to Abraham in doing the duty of going to find his son a wife. That term is going to be later used to speak of Isaac's love for that wife that is given to him. He loved her. There was a hesed toward her. It's also used to speak of her love for him. By the way, I think you would have to admit with me that under the conditions of their marriage, I don't know that it was a mushy-gushy, aw kind of love. She was gone, picked up by a servant, and said, I want you to be the wife of my master's son. Folks, there's no digital photo, no iPod or iPhone to point and say, this is what he looks like. I mean, that's loyalty. And she went. Isaac had no clue what would be brought home for him by a master. Can you imagine? Waiting for what the servant picked for you? Oh boy. Yet the Bible says that when he saw her, he loved her. It's that term. It's now used of God's love and compassion for his people who have rejected him and turned from him. It is of the Lord's hesed that his people were not consumed. Why? Because his love and loyalty was still set on them. Verse 23 then speaks of that loving loyalty. He describes it as new every morning. I think that's an interesting way to describe it. I think that's a term that, or a description that most Jews would have picked up on rather easily. The manna of God was new every morning. Its provision was full. The mercies of God, his loving loyalty is new every morning. They fail not. That word fail is an interesting word. Because the word fail there means come to an end, to be spent, to be all gone or worn out. The mercies of God, new every morning, don't come to an end. They're not spent. They're not all gone. They never wear out. God works with his people, and his love has no end. His richness of mercy will never run dry. His love for us will never wear thin. It will never be spent. By the way, have you ever felt that way in your love towards somebody else? I'm sure none of you have ever said, my love for you is wearing thin. You ever felt that way with somebody? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. So he says, great is thy faithfulness. Some would, though, ask this question, how can you say, Pastor, that God's love did not run dry? Because let's face it, Jeremiah and Judah were being punishedly. That punishment certainly cannot be due to a loyal love of God. If God loved them, wouldn't he simply stop that judgment? If God loved them, he wouldn't allow another nation to come and conquer them and take them captive. There's no way you can tell me, Pastor, that the judgment of God is equal to hesed. How can Jeremiah say God is faithful when he's been going through persecution, when his people are being carried away captive? many of whom are being killed and only a remnant saved. How is that loving loyalty? How can you claim that God is faithful? I want you to see this with me tonight. I want you to remember that within our context, Jeremiah is speaking about God's faithfulness to His covenant people, Israel. That's an important thought. In Lamentations chapter 3, as Jeremiah says these words, he is speaking in the context of God's loyalty and love and faithfulness to His covenant people Israel. And if we consider that covenant, then you will remember that God is being faithful to that covenant, even in judgment. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? I want you to go over with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, I want you to look at a couple verses with me. I'd encourage you sometime to read through all of Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30. We don't have the time tonight to go through all of that in detail. But I want you to hear a few of the verses, and I want you to see the truth that even in judgment, God is faithful. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I want you to stop there for a moment. What's happening in Deuteronomy? Israel is getting ready to go to the promised land the second time. The first generation rejected and they died in the wilderness. Moses is going to soon depart and Joshua is going to soon take the next generation into the promised land. Deuteronomy is a repeating of that law, that generation, a reminder of the covenant. And Moses is saying to this generation before they enter in, I want to remind you of this covenant and associate it with your obedience to the covenant is my blessing. Such a blessing that God said it will overtake you. That sounds kind of exciting, doesn't it? Look at verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Jump down to verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. God says there's not a nation that will be able to stand against you if you follow me, if you obey the covenant. That was God's promise. And by the way, did He ever fulfill that promise? Yes, He did. You look at the expansion under David and Solomon, and there was a people that feared the nation of Israel, even though they were a small nation. There was a people that respected that nation. But with the covenant, the one side was His blessing, but there was another side of His curse. Look at verse 14 and 15. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to their right hand or to the left, and go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. Notice the same terminology, and overtake thee. Folks, this was the covenant. If you obey, and follow me, I will send blessing upon you that will literally consume you. If you reject me and go after other gods and you break the covenant, I will pour upon you a curse that will do likewise. Now, you go back to Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You understand that statement a little bit more? Even in judgment, God is faithful. By the way, for God not to have judged them for their sin and not brought to them the consequence, he would have ceased to be faithful to his people, because he had promised to do that. Now, you say, why would God promise to do that? Go back to Lamentations chapter 3 for a moment. All of this was designed for one purpose. Verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. You know what's interesting about Deuteronomy 28? It's followed by Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know what Deuteronomy 30 is all about in the first 10 verses? God promises if they depart and he brings judgment, if they turn again to the Lord, he'll restore them and bring again the blessing. Folks, our Lord is ever faithful. What's Hebrews 12 tell us about those whom the Lord loves? He does what to them? He chastens them. Well, so I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's good that God punishes people. No, he chastens those whom he loves. Great is his faithfulness. Jeremiah found out that he was able to endure the afflictions and the miseries because God's love and faithfulness carried him through. It's his loving loyalty that keeps us from being consumed. God is ever faithful. What a blessing it is to know that in the times that we face the chastening hand of the Lord, we are still under his careful eye, under his loving hand, and the dross is removed from our life, that we come forth as pure gold. In the next few weeks, I want to look a little further at this passage. I want to consider this theme even more, because there are many rich blessings that we had no time to get to tonight. What I want you to walk away with tonight is the fact that our God is forever faithful. And that context of that statement is in the midst of one of the darkest valleys in Jeremiah's life. Folks, he wasn't writing that from the mountaintop. He wasn't writing that on a day of beautiful sunshine. He was in a pit and he was all fogged in. But in his life and in his heart, he knew this truth. God is lovingly loyal to his people and won't consume us. His compassions will never fail. And for that, he could cry, "Great is thy faithfulness." Folks, the next time you sing that song, and the next time you sing that first verse of that hymn, I want you to think about the truth that that is true in the darkest of your days, not just in the brightest moments of your life. Our God is forever faithful. The Marines have a motto, Semper Fi. And they are fiercely loyal one to another. But that loyalty does not compare to the loving loyalty of Almighty God. Next week, we're going to look more closely at how God's faithfulness is recognized in our lives. The Scripture speaks of a God who is faithful. And I want you to see in what areas He is faithful to you and faithful to me. We're going to study that next week as we come together. Let's go ahead and close our time, though, in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.